For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Basketball is back, and BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all your sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all of your favorite sports and events, whether that's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Just head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use the promo code BLEAV, that is BLEAV, capital letters BLEAV, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. And welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Top of Thunder podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Hunzinger at Thunder Chats. We are part of the Believe Network presented by BetOnline.ag. I think that's the first time I ever remember to say that. But I am joined by somebody who has been coming on more recently, and we're very excited about that. It's just him right now. Alex might be joining, but first I got to introduce the one, the only, the Maddie Double Dribbles, Tierney. What up, Tierney?
Not much. I'm just you know, sitting pretty on this Sixth Man of the Year award now that Westbrook is supposedly going on the bench, and everything I said about that is just coming together, and that's my one gem I'm holding on to, because I think all my other predictions so far are really bad, including what I said about Minnesota. So I'm holding on to that Sixth Man of the Year prediction, because it's looking beautiful. So I'm good. Other than that, my internet, as I was mentioning before the pod, is a little spotty today. Don't know why. Cox is just horrible. But today is one of those bad internet days. So if I'm gone like 20 minutes into the episode and you just hear Dylan talking the rest of the time, now you know why.
If that happens, I promise you the episode will end very shortly afterwards. Yes. Because I'm fighting to stay awake for this. So
this is gonna be a short one regardless.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of exciting things to talk about. You know, since we last recorded a podcast, the Thunder have played the Bucks and they played the Pistons. In the Bucks game, there was no Giannis, no Chris Middleton, obviously, and the Bucks still just had their way with us. And, you know, then we got to the Pistons game. And for those, and, you know, we don't got to talk about the Bucks game because
nothing
went right. Like, even Shea, who's been having this crazy year, I think he only finished the game with like 17 points. So, yeah, like nothing went right in that game. But then you transition to the Pistons game, which happened last night. We lost 112-103. And this was the game that, you know, those that were still holding out hope that, hey, maybe this could be a team that pushes for the play-in. Maybe this could be a team that, you know, rides their horses, you know, for the remainder of the season. And, you know, this could be a game that we could, you know, bounce back from a, you know, demoralizing Bucks loss, because nobody really cared that we lost the Bucks even without Giannis, because their defense is so good. Like, I think they had the league's best defense, and, you know, Giannis kind of plays that like roamer free safety, off-ball menace. But other than that, like, Brook Lopez as a drop big's crazy. Jrue Holiday and Javon Carter as point of attack defenders, just dogs. And so, you know, nobody really was worried about us losing that game. But yeah, man, coming out to the Pistons, especially after the lead we had going into halftime, I think we led by 15, 16 points at the half.
Yes.
And our own Matt Tierney here sent us a text in our group.
I was riding high, boys. I was riding high.
What was that text you sent, dude?
I gotta look it up. It was I'll also be honest. So a little backstory. I had just gotten back from like middle of nowhere, Oklahoma. I was on a thing with some of my high school kids, and it's Cache, Oklahoma, by the way, if you've ever heard of it. It's like the smallest town imaginable. There was nothing there. So I totally missed the whole weekend. Didn't watch the Bucks game at all. I missed it. And so Monday I got back. I decided, since I'd been gone the whole weekend and also Monday, I was like, I'll take the next day off. I'll take some paid time off. And I decided, you know what, since I'm off for tomorrow, I'm just going to have myself an adult beverage. And I had an adult beverage while watching this this game. And I got a little too confident, as one does sometimes. And came in hot, boys. And at halftime, I'm still trying to find it.
Yeah, we talked a lot last night.
Yeah, we had a lot. I'm still scrolling up. Oh, we don't want to talk for a while at this point. It was kind of a little dead air. And then out of nowhere, 7:30 p.m. yesterday, I was like, my brothers, we are really good at basketball. And then we proceeded to just crap the bed the second half. I also said later, I regret my 0-4 prediction when they were still ahead. And it's actually still a great prediction, turns out, because we've lost both games so far.
Lost three games.
Three games, excuse me.
It was the Nuggets, Bucks, Pistons, and then we got
the Nuggets for tomorrow. Yeah, I was thinking the Nuggets. Yeah, I missed the Nuggets game too, by the way. So I've been out of the loop a little bit. But yeah, so still looking good, and we've got the Bucks tomorrow. So 0-4 looks incredibly good. I don't know why I said I regret my 0-4 prediction. So yeah, I was riding high, and yeah, as we all now know, second half wasn't pretty. I also had a small wager on betonline.ag.
Oh man,
not for the game, because I actually didn't think they were going to win the game, but I bet the over, and that also didn't win. It was like 224 was the over, and they lost 112 to 103. So it was a hefty over. I was hoping for some points in the fourth quarter, obviously from the Thunder, so they could come back. But no can do. So yeah, it wasn't a pretty second half. I mean, we did, you know, silver lining was Shea looked back to his all-star self, like he didn't look against a very good Bucks team, but he put up seems to be now like the normal numbers for him. On an average night, 30 plus points. So he was looking really good. But yeah, it just was like they were getting out rebounded. Cade was playing great in the fourth quarter. So the Pistons just looked good. And we just sort of like I mentioned, crapped the bed. And so it was not a fun second half. But at the same time, we kind of expected this. I had mentioned this in the last podcast I was on. We were riding really high when it was us and Cone, and I think Alex was on that one too. We were all riding real high, and we're sort of crashing back to reality on what this team is. Now that we're getting into sort of the reality of the Thunder, there's now been like some murmurs about Giddy and like his fit in that, and I think we had talked about that a little bit in the chat yesterday too. And so the normal woes and pains of going through a season like we expected, where we're going to question players' fits. And I don't think we're at that point where I still think Giddy will be fine in this system, but it has been a hard stretch. So it just wasn't a good second half. That's all I can say.
Yeah, no, the second half was killer. And before we get into the second half and this, more of this game in general, we got to bring in our other member of the podcast, the one and only, the man, the myth, the legend, my right hand man, Alex Roig. What's up, Alex?
What up, man?
Pitch black right now.
Oh, man, I'm outside walking, man.
Oh, okay.
He's getting them steps in. He's multitasking. Yeah,
exactly. A little disappointed with Oklahoma politics at this moment, but it is what it is. Let's move on to some Thunder basketball.
Man, you're on your Brady Trantham right now. Throwback Brady Trantham.
There we go. Yeah.
I won't talk about politics either, but I did see a tweet that the election was decided at 7 p.m.
Oh yeah,
0 minutes, 1 second. They knew.
Yeah, some of those races they knew already. Like some of those senator races.
The absentee ballots or whatever. Yeah, I just thought it was funny. It was a funny tweet to see. So anyway, yeah. Hopefully everyone voted. That's what matters.
That's how democracy. That's how democracy works.
You youngins out there that are now 18, do it. It's important.
Yeah. Do your due diligence first, and then do it.
Yeah, the NBA made sure that there was no games today, so everybody would go vote because NBA why people can't vote in the day.
Yes, of course. I had to watch this team that I cannot watch later on because we have no technology now to do that.
But now, realistically, I think it was just to like open up like more voting centers.
It's probably good. Yeah, it's just also like a good like public way to say like, hey, go vote if you like stop everything that day.
I think they were able to open up some arenas for voting. Yeah. So that's why they did.
Right. Yeah,
that's smart.
Yeah, for sure.
We did that. That was awesome.
So, Alex, man, we're talking about this Pistons game. We just completely bypassed the Bucks game. There wasn't much to cover from that. I mean,
we're pretending it didn't happen.
Well, yeah, because it's going to happen again tomorrow, and Giannis might be a part of it.
We'll just lump the two together in the next pod.
But yeah, we're talking about the Pistons game, man. And, you know, I was just getting it into the second half. So I pulled it up. We led going into the second half. 63-48, 15 points, yeah. We scored 40 points the rest of the game for 103, and the Detroit Pistons scored 64 points the rest of the game. Mm. So that was was the big thing. And, like, honestly, we still had a shot at the end of it. You know, it was kind of weird seeing – because Pistons are a lot like the Thunder in the fact that they're rebuilding, they're a young team. They don't have very good offensive rating. They have terrible defensive rating, unlike the Thunder do. But ironically enough, it was their defense, specifically in the third quarter, that got the Pistons back into the game. And, you know, the Thunder have been on that end of comebacks many, many times. Not even this season, like last season, the season before that. Like, that's been like one of the calling cards for the Thunder is that they're never out of the game. And a lot of it is because of their second half adjustments, their defense, and, you know, just their effort and intensity. And so it was kind of weird to see the shoe on the other foot with the Thunder kind of coming out lackadaisical and the Pistons, you know, basically just taking our moves.
It was classic young team, classic young rebuilding team. Always, you know, always thinking that they have to fight to make up deficits, but when you're in the lead by 15, they don't realize that the other team is going to come back and do the same thing to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think that's kind of what you saw in that third quarter. And then by the time, you know, it hit us in the head, and, you know, by the time that haymaker hit us in the head, Detroit had all the momentum, and, you know, it was pretty much over after that.
I will also say, like, because I went back and checked, because I had thought this in the moment, like, that the score is a little misleading because they were like very close up and I checked specifically, we were only down by three with 3 minutes left. So it was like, it was close. A 9-point deficit at the end is a little misleading in that notion. So this was definitely a game, even with the collapse in the second half, we could have won. It's just like I mentioned earlier, I think Cade was really good down the stretch. So, you know, it was just we didn't have enough stuff around us.
I think Muscala
there at the end too.
The two stars played in two different halves. So I think, you know, Shea was him in the first half. And then Cade Cunningham was, you know, he was very good in the second half. So
yeah. Where do you guys think Detroit is in comparison to us with rebuilding? I've always thought of them like where they are now is like about a year ahead of us, but I don't know. Well, it's hard to say.
They've been rebuilding longer than we have. Like,
right. I know. But I'm saying like where, like, I think they're like a year ahead of us in terms of like being back in like the contender platform.
No, I don't think so. I think they're a year ahead of us as far as like they have more draft picks. You know, their Poku is basically Sadiq Bey.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, they also have a couple guys. Yeah. But I mean, they also got some good players this draft that I think are like,
well, yeah.
I mean, we obviously have Chet, so I guess it's sort of like, yeah, I forgot Chet there, but like
our drafts are very comparable this year.
Where, yeah.
You know, Jaden Ivey, Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren, Jalen Duren, you know, so very
and
comparable.
Then like Cade and Shea are sort of like the same, where it's like they're like rising superstars. But in that sense, I think Shea is a little bit above Cade. So then it's like it's hard for me to know where they are in their full rebuild. Because some days, like after obviously yesterday, I'm like, okay, they seem to be a step ahead of us. But then like you look at Cade versus Shea, they're the guys on their individual teams that are supposed to be the guy. And I still think Shea is above Cade, so it's like it's hard to say where the timeline goes. I was just kind of curious. There's not really a real answer to it, but just kind of an interesting thought.
I think we win. I think we're ahead because it's Giddy versus Killian Hayes, and I think we won that battle pretty significantly.
Yeah, he's not been looking good.
Yeah, and like if Detroit is more successful, like in the more immediate future than OKC is, it's a lot of the reason is because of the conference that they're playing in. The Eastern Conference is like infinitely, you know, weaker than the Western Conference, specifically this year. So that's kind of that. But I mean, Detroit's 3-8 and OKC is 4-6. Like, you know, they're kind of on the same playing field at this point, and Detroit's been one of the bottom two records the past two, maybe even 3 years. And, you know, OKC has done everything, like specifically last year, they did everything they could to get there and they couldn't do that. So, I mean, I think the Pistons are a little bit behind from where the Thunder are, just because, I mean, you know, with the exception of last night, like, I just think the Thunder play more like a team. You know, there's more cohesion, there's more chemistry, the effort, the defense. Like, I just think that, you know, the process is, is more fluid, I guess. Obviously, the players are comparable, like you guys said, but also, like, you know, we just kind of sweep it under the rug, like, oh yeah, and then also Chet. But like Chet is a big piece to this team on both sides of the ball. So, you know, we can't forget.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
That, but kind of talking about this game and kind of, you know, as Tierney pointed out, it was close at the end. And, you know, there's a variety of reasons why this game got as close as it did and why we ended up losing. And this isn't really a segment. It's just more of like a talking point. Alex, I said we're probably going to go a little bit shorter in this pod just because, like, you know, the vibes aren't as good. And there's not as much to talk about. Probably go about 30, 40 minutes. But this is kind of the topic that I wanted this pod to be around. And basically, what's wrong with the Thunder? Like, these past three games, the Nuggets game, kind of looked like the Thunder that we had seen in that winning streak, that four-game win streak that we had. But in this Bucks game and this Pistons game, the Thunder looked like a shell of what we saw of them. So I'll start because, you know, I just sprung this topic on you guys. But something that maybe not even necessarily what's wrong with the Thunder, but what do you find most concerning? And something that I find very concerning is Shea's 3-point attempts. And, you know, I get it. Like, Shea's been stupid efficient. Like, let me see. What is field goal percentages right now on the year? Of course, you just want to do this to me, stupid basketball reference. So his field goal percentage on the year is 53.9%, which is easily like far and away a career high. I mean, he's had performances where he put up 13 of 17, 12 of 18. Yeah, I mean, those were like the standouts. But this is his last three games, three-point attempts. One three-point attempt in the last three games. Now, the games prior to that,
That's not good.
Yeah, the games prior to that, he had 6, 5, 2, 4, 2, 3. Now, he hasn't made a three-pointer since October 27th. That was five games ago. But since he made a three-pointer, he's attempted 6 threes in five games. Again, I get the guy is playing at a ridiculous level. His efficiency is through the roof. He's getting easy buckets. Nobody can stop him from getting to his spots. But at the end of the game, I'm noticing something. We know Shea is a clutch player, and you know, in games like even the Mavericks game and you know, even some of these other games, he's still able to get to his spots and get buckets in the clutch. But late in games, teams are forming a strategy. They're trying to build a wall on Shea because he has shown in this last stretch of games, he's reluctant to take threes right now for whatever reason. I don't know if it's a confidence thing or if he's just, you know, feeling it from the mid-range and driving to the basket. But they're building a wall to stop him from driving to the basket, getting to his spots in the mid-range because he's not shooting threes. And also, nobody's hitting, man. Like, I can't tell you how many times in these last three games I've seen Shea just drive in and kick it to somebody, not, like, open to where somebody can, like, get, like, just a slight contest. Like, wide freaking open. Like, Shea draws, like, two people on the drive, including his own man. I'm trying to think. Like, I think Dort had a shot.
Our boy Mike had a shot, man.
Moose does. Moose was a flamethrower for a minute, too.
Yeah.
He came in as like a big Isaiah Joe.
He was 3 of 7 on the night, but he had some misses at the end that were pretty.
Well, I mean, that important. And like previous two games, he'd also been missing. Like, he's shooting like sub 30% for the year. And this is a guy that we really want him to be shooting around 38 to 40, which is what he normally shot last year. So I think that's a big release valve that's not working at the moment.
Yeah, and I do think that will kind of regress more towards the mean. You know, I mean, it is early. You know, that's key context for all this. Like, even, like, you know, any of our critiques that we're going to throw out here, like, it's early. Like, we've played 10 games. Like, we haven't even played a third or a fourth of the season at this point. So, the context is key. But, like, late in games, if Shea is just driving to the basket, get into the mid-range, and nobody else is hitting from deep, defenses are going to start building a wall for Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. And a lot of times, you know, people build a wall for guys that are huge, like Zion, like Giannis back in the day. Like, so you can stop them from getting to the rim because, you know, they're just a force of nature. Shea's not a force of nature, but he can still get to the rim whenever he wants to. So teams are going to start building a wall if he doesn't do something to keep him honest. And I'm not saying, you know, shoot 8 3-pointers, 4 of them be step back variety. Like, and it kind of bleeds into another issue that I'm sure somebody else is going to talk about. You have creators on this team. Like, you have multiple creators on this team, guys that are, you know, equipped to make quick decisions with the basketball, make plays for themselves and others. There's no reason Shea should not be getting catch and shoot 3-point opportunities. There's just absolutely no reason. And so with that, I'm going to kick it to, I'll kick it to Alex here first. Alex, what's something that's been concerning for you in specifically this past three games?
So the rotation. So it's one of the, you know, you have to start building chemistry among the players that you have. And I know it's very difficult because literally, we have a roster where we want to play every player out there. You know, aside from Kenrich, Muscala, you know, we want to play basically everybody else on the roster to include our two-way players just to see if there's something there to build for the future. Mm-hmm. But with that, there's no chemistry. Like it just seems like, you know, you put in Santa out there for a little bit. Okay, great. You put in Usman out there for a little bit. Okay, great. And then, you know, in those couple of minutes, they do things, you know, but they also do not necessarily build with SGA, with Giddey, with Dort. And so I think that, you know, Dagnall's rotations this year, even though he's probably having to do this because he has to find out what players he has, they're starting to necessarily affect the chemistry. And so you're not able to see, you know, you're not able to start. You know, we went into when we had that 4-game win streak, we kind of wanted to start building from that point. Mm-hmm. I know Thunder fans are getting impatient. They're like, yes, you know, 4-game win streak. We have a superstar on the team. Let's go. But I don't think the team is there right now. And so it is frustrating to know that you have potential, but also know that, you know, I asked in the last podcast, I asked what would a tanking team look like with SGA on it? And I think we're starting to see it. I think, you know, the rotations are on purpose. And so I think you are trying to not build as much chemistry because you want to see what everybody can provide, everybody can do. But it's at the behest of, you know, us playing good, consistent basketball. And so that's kind of what's worrying me.
Yep. And that's all fair, man. I mean, it's been super inconsistent. And like, you know, just kind of going back to the parallels between the Thunder and Pistons, like the Pistons played a 9-man rotation last night. Like they didn't play like, you know, a million players. Like they still have young guys they'd probably like to get looks at as well. But, you know, I guess they highlighted this game as a chance to kind of get right, as a chance to, you know, start going towards the right direction. And, you know, they cut it to a 9-man rotation. And, you know, that was able to keep some of these guys in rhythm. And, we lost Tierney, and it says that I have low internet. Can you still hear me, Alex?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, cool. All
right, so, I mean, here's the thing. Oh, okay, Tierney's back, but I think the G League season getting started is going to be kind of good for us because we're going to be able to send guys, Jalen Williams, you know, Jalen Arkansas, Jalen Williams, Usman, our two ways. We're going to be able to send those guys to the G League for, let's say, a 5-game stretch, have them develop. And so in that 5-game stretch, we are going to be able to do a 9-10-man rotation. And I think during those spurts, you're going to see the consistency that this team needs to perform. And so we'll see.
Yep. Tierney, how do you feel about the rotations, man? You got anything else to add on that?
Yeah, well, a little bit. I was trying to, while he was talking, and I'll try to make this fast. I don't know how long I'm going to have with this internet. I was trying to see like,
Dang.
Whatever he was trying to say, the internet does not want us to hear it.
I'm sure it was very profound, but
pretty yeah, sure by his frozen face, I can tell it's very profound.
Well, as we're waiting on
younger guys are getting okay, it's probably going to go out again. So, the Usman and Jalen were the two guys that had the most minutes. That's all I'll say. I won't go into the details. The other thing I wanted to say about Dylan's thing with Shea is we had talked about this last week on the podcast, how we were like, he's not shooting a lot of threes, but it's been fine because he's doing so great at the rim. And I remember we had the talk, like they're going to start like game planning for that. And now we're here next week and lo and behold, they've been game planning and he's either not taking the shots because he doesn't want to, or he thinks he can get to the rim, but teams are now realizing he doesn't take threes. His teammates don't shoot threes very well right now. So they're just building that wall slowly, and the more this happens, the more they're going to solidify that game plan. So yeah,
I find myself telling Shea to shoot it when he's like 4-on-1.
Yeah, which is fine. He's the superstar. Hey,
the law of the NBA is once you give teams 10 games worth of film, 10 games worth of scouting, they know exactly what you do.
Yeah,
and
right.
So we're 10 games
we're
in.
About that point, yeah.
And, you know, they know what we do. They know what Shea does. They know where Shea likes to go. And they know that they can shadow him because our three-point shooting has been atrocious.
And right. So now, yeah, so now it's like this is where it's going to be make or break for, like, the Shea all-star, the all-star Shea versus not the all-star Shea. So the thing, though, I wanted to mention was a little bit different. It's kind of related to shooting, but it was about Lu Dort. It was kind of a concerning tweet I saw from our friend of the pod, Andrew Select. He mentioned that he took 6 shots last night, and I think, and 5 of them, well, actually 4 out of 5 of them were with more than half of the shot clock remaining, and he missed 5 out of 6.
A lot of them were with the shot clock still in the 20s. That's
right.
That's concerning.
Well, one of them was 20 seconds left. It was 2 seconds left was his only make. And then all of his misses, he had 5 misses. It was right. That was the one that probably he should have. That was correct. But the other 5, it was 17, 20, 17, 11, and 14 seconds left. So it was very, very much like, and he goes on to say later, like in a thread, like it doesn't necessarily represent that they're all bad, but like most of those were rushed. So it's more like, I don't know if it's necessarily Lu Dort. Oh, my light just went out. Lu Dort or just the game plan in general. But either way, like decision making there seems troubling because I don't really care if you lose a game, but I do care if you lose a game and you're not making good decisions with the ball. That to me was kind of concerning and sort of like representative of a potential problem moving forward of like whether it's Dort or somebody else not just rushing the shot instead of like playing to the scheme or playing to what Dagnall draws up and like trying to play hero ball when anyone other than Shea probably shouldn't be playing hero ball. And then even Shea, I would say, is like he should be doing that all the time. So, I just thought that was a little concerning. It was just something I wanted to bring up.
What did I tell you they were going to do in the last podcast? They were going to shadow SGA, and they were going to allow Dort to go ahead and score 23 points.
We had this exact talk. Yeah.
Or 18 points on 23 shots type thing.
And yeah, I said something very similar. Like, I thought they were going to start hounding Shea. Yeah. Where we are.
Yeah, just a quick stat for you. Guess who leads the Thunder in 3-point attempts the last, including the 10 games this season, but the last 3 seasons?
Lugans Dort.
He has, I think, 57 to Trey Mann's 51 this year. He shot almost, hang on, let me see how many exactly. I know Shea was number 2 in 3-point attempts last year, but
he's starting to remind me of like, offensively, he's starting to remind me of like Westbrook a little bit, where he's like overly confident in himself.
Yeah, he shot
that's good or bad.
Almost 100 more 3-pointers than Shea did last year.
That's insane. That should not be happening.
And that's with them kind of playing the same amount of games too, because you know Lu Dort went out with the
Shea played 56 games. Yeah. Dort played 5 less games and shot almost 100 more threes.
There you go.
Yeah, that's
wild. He's a confident man, that's for sure.
The last thing I kind of want to talk about is kind of the elephant in the room, but also if you go on Twitter, it's not very much of an elephant. It's Josh Giddey, man. And, you know, what's up with that guy? Let me pull up his stats from this game. So
I wonder if it's a case of like sophomore expectations.
Sophomore slump.
That's my thought. I don't really see much of this as a problem right now. I'm not really
not just that
heart into it.
Like these are people. These are all people. You know, Josh Giddey just turned 20 years old. He's still very young. And so, mm-hmm. you know, he went out with the ankle tweak. And as soon as he went out, the Thunder started winning. And SGA was putting up crazy stats, getting player of the week type, you know, type vibe. And as soon as he comes back, the team starts struggling. So that has to play on your mental a little bit. That has to play on your psyche a little bit. And, you know, the narrative behind the team is how are Giddey and SGA going to play together? And so far, mm-hmm. you know, Mark, I don't think Mark has done a great job necessarily of kind of allaying those types of fears. You know, he's kind of taken Giddey out when he struggled. He's, you know, he hasn't played them together a whole bunch. And so, you know, that, again, that goes back to kind of Dagnall's rotations and, hey, what are you doing currently? Are you basically tanking while SGA is playing? And that's kind of what it seems like he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so like last game he had 9.6 rebounds, 2 assists, but 3 turnovers. Shot 4 of 12 for the game. 0 of 1 from 3 and 1 of 2 from the free throw line. If you look at his season-long stats, granted, he's only got to play 7 games, like you mentioned, with his injury. But he's actually 4th on the team in 3-pointers, tied with Aaron Wiggins for 33.3%. On the 3rd most attempts per game behind Trey Mann and Lugan Stort. So it's like his shooting is like, you know, theoretically, like when you're trying to figure out like how Josh Giddey can play off Shea is his shooting. And his shooting, you know, while it hasn't been, you know, Steph Curry level or anything like that, like it hasn't been terrible. The thing that like really bothers me is, and I don't remember who it was I was talking to, or I think it was in the chat last night, actually. Shea, like whenever we went on this win streak, like he was cooking so much when he was moving off ball, he was drawing like 2 guys to him, like as a decoy and getting like just easy buckets for like, I think Poku, Lou Dort, Darius Bazley, like guys got easy buckets just because Shea was moving around off ball. If Josh Giddey doesn't have that basketball in his hands, he might as well be a statue where he stands. I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but it happened. But I mean, I don't know, man. It's just so frustrating. And then he gets the ball. And the thing that's like so intriguing about Josh Giddey is his creation ability. And like we saw it all over the place last year. And, you know, we've seen flashes this year, but I don't know. It feels like he's like aggressively kind of going after his own shot this year. And, you know, we kind of saw glimpses of that in summer league and we was excited about it because, you know, he was bigger. His shot looked better preseason as well. But now that we're in the regular season, we're like kind of in the nitty gritty. Giddey does his, I mean, it's, I don't know. It's just not working, and it's kind of concerning me.
I almost wonder if he's suffering from a little bit, you know, you have the sophomore slump, but also a little bit of just highlight reel searching. You know?
Yeah, I could see that.
And I don't necessarily mean, you know, he's doing that purposely, but I do think that he is looking for the assist. He's looking for that pass, you know, that amazing, oh my gosh, that pass went over the entire defense cross court and found the guy in the corner for an open 3 type thing, you know, and I think he may be suffering from that. And honestly, I think it's going to take time for him to maybe recalibrate within this offense. This offense is changing. This offense is evolving and he's supposed to be the orchestrator of it. And I think he's maybe lost in the shuffle a little bit with the gravity that Shea has currently. And so this is going to be the thing that they have to learn how to coexist. You know, they have to learn how to vibe off of each other based off of their strengths. And I think they'll get there. And I do think that a lot of it has to do with people just not making shots. You know, Giddey's assist numbers are down, but the entire team as a whole is not making shots outside of Shea.
Right. I think our team assists are down as a whole. That's the other thing.
And 100% never expected to say this. The loss of Poku over the last couple games, you know, Mark said, you know, he was a connector piece. And lo and behold, he's kind of a connector piece. And, you know, it's kind of taken away from the ability of this team to play different, the ability of this team to play in a very unique fashion. You know, you have a 7-footer out there that he can play a little bit inside, and then he can play a little bit on the outside as far as a perimeter type player. And so it's completely surprised me that his absence has been missed so much. But, you know, here we are with Poku, man. Like, very surprising.
Yeah, I think Steve, as Dylan had mentioned, we were talking about this yesterday. Steve had mentioned something I just glanced over yesterday, but he had shown some stats on like pick and roll play percentage and ISO play percentage for Shea, and they're both really low, which sort of tells you that he's like off ball a lot. And I think that actually plays into my, I don't know if it's correct, but my vision of what I think Shea and Giddey can be, because I've never seen Giddey as like a shooter. I've never seen him as like, if Shea is Steph and then like Giddey is Clay, like that, I don't think that's the formula that the Thunder are going to have, because Clay is obviously one of the best shooters of all time, which is why it works with Steph, who is like this giant gravity inducing player on the court. I think Giddey is more of like the distributor. And if he's not, oh, hey, there's a deer on Alex's screen. If like Giddey is the distributor, and Shea is sort of like the guy who goes and makes the plays, from Giddey. And so, as I think we've all been saying, I think it's way too early to sort of be like, well, this isn't going to work based off what we've seen in like 10 games. I think we give him the year to figure it out, give Dagnall some time to like workshop it, give the team some time to workshop it. And I do think they'll be fine. I think it's a lot of different things aside from that. I think it is sort of what Alex was saying, like Giddey's probably trying to be a little too cute with it sometimes and like making the extreme passes where he doesn't need to. I think it's the fact that he's very young, and like our expectations for the team are way too high. Like our expectations is in Twitter's expectations. I think it's all of that. Like and it all boils down to like, we should not be making this decision this early. We just need to trust the process, as we say, and like, let them figure it out and give them more than 10 games. And I think you'll be fine. The Shea stuff we talked about last week, the shooting, that stuff I think is a worry right now. I think that's what we need to be worried about. What I don't think we'd be worried about is the Giddey Shea matchup. I think we just let that run its course.
So I didn't think this was going to turn to a bitch session. But the struggles of Trey Mann have also kind of impacted our ability to affect games whenever Shea is out of it. And again,
he looks so good early too.
Yeah. I think we're trying to develop way too many guards. And yeah. I don't know how to fix that issue without necessarily trading somebody away or anything like that, you know, but I do think that we are trying to develop J-Dub. We're trying to develop Trey Mann. We're trying to, you know, see how Giddey, Shea, Dort work all together. And then thrown into the mix, Wiggins.
Change basketball, dude.
Yeah.
Lost in the shuffle, unfortunately.
I don't know. He's getting DMPs.
Exactly, man. And it's it sucks, man. It's a good problem to have, but it's a crappy problem to have also, because you know, you have a ton of guys that have talent, a ton of guys that you want to see how they look with consistent minutes. And it just kind of sucks that some of them are going to be lost in the shuffle, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's you know, it's kind of funny. You guys kind of made the point about Giddy and him struggling with his passes this year, about like us missing, you know, Shea's not hitting as much, and you know, the rest of the team is also not hitting as much. We actually, like, I went back and looked at the stats. So I think for this year, we are averaging 43% field goal percent as a team, which is not good. Like, I can't remember if it's the bottom of the league or bottom two, but last year, and I even filtered pre-All-Star break. So, you know, there was no injuries. We didn't have Yurgos Kalizakis to throw into the fold on that. But pre-All-Star break, 41.8% from the field, like for field goal percentage. So we're actually hitting more shots than we were last year, and Giddy looked better last year. So I don't necessarily think that is, like, I can't put my finger on what it is. I don't know if, I just don't know. But I mean, I 100% agree. I 100% understand. Like, it's way too early to like hit the panic button or anything like that. But it's just frustrating because coming out of All-Star break last year at the Phoenix game, you know, there was the whole thing about Mark Daigneault meeting alone with Josh Giddey, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, about how they can work together and play together going forward. They had their best game of the season by far that night. You know, that was when Shea went over the whole plan A comment and everybody lost their mind on Twitter. And that was Josh Giddey's last game of the regular season that year. And then we got to see Shea go on his like ridiculous run post All-Star break. But, and you know, I get it. Like, you know, we didn't have any other instances to see them play last year, but like, you know, it's a new season. Like, not only did you have something that clicked that night, you've had months since that night to build on that thought, to be like, okay, this worked. How can we make it better? How can we make this fit work even better? And honestly, I think it looks worse than last year. Like, am I crazy?
No, you're not. Not at all. I mean, again, our sample size is, what, 6 games this year? I believe.
7. Oh, yeah, no, yeah, seven. 6, because Shea was out one. Yeah, Shea was out one.
Sample size is 6. And so, yeah, I mean – it's not one of the staples of wisdom and advice that Presti and Mark have said throughout this entire process is that development is not linear, you know? And so just because they had a good game, you know, the last game of the season last year that they played together does not mean that that's going to be 100% carrying over to the season. It does look worse. It does look worse, and it does look clunky as hell. But that's, you know, if you're a realist, that's to be expected. And so we'll see, man. We had a bad game against Detroit, but we've literally played 2 playoff/championship contenders in Denver and Milwaukee. And I know Milwaukee was without their 2 best players in Antetokounmpo and Middleton. But that's still a damn good team. That's a very veteran team, you know. Mm-hmm. So let's see how they do after this, you know, and they still play tough games. Don't get me wrong. But a couple practices under their belt, a couple more games under their belt, and hopefully they're finding their groove. They're finding their momentum of playing together. But I wouldn't worry too much. Giddy kind of came back in a very, you know, very raw type situation as far as who we were playing and, you know, and things like that. But it does look clunky. But I always, you know, I would say preach a little bit of patience when it comes to these 2 guys.
Yeah. And it also, like, you know, touching on that context, you know, them only playing 6 games together, they also didn't have the privilege of going through training camp and preseason together because of Shea's injury. So, again, context is key. Like, you have to add it in there. I understand. I'm just, you know, just kind of throwing some things out there. But with that being said, you know, talking about, we do play the Bucks tomorrow. And I think that, you know, we thought this stretch was going to kind of define this team and what they are. I think tomorrow is going to say a lot about what this, you know, what this team is, because I'm not saying we're going to beat the Bucks. I'm not going to say we're going to make it close, especially if Giannis is playing. Like, let's be honest. Like, those guys are finals contenders. But just like you guys said, trust the process. I want to see the process of how we're playing tomorrow. I want to see the effort. I want to see the communicating, the defensive, you know, rotations. I want to see high IQ basketball plays. I want to see guys hit shots when they're created for. Like, I want to see the process of everything we saw working in that four-game win streak. I want to see it come to fruition again, because, you know, that's something you can replicate, you know, each night. Like, maybe not the shot making, but, like, you know, the effort and, like, the decisions you make, that's something that's, you know, replicable. Like, that's something you can count on every night. That's something that you can control. And, you know, I want to see the Thunder control it tomorrow.
Yeah,
definitely. I want to see 4 3-point attempts from SGA. I want to see 6 assists from Giddey. You know, I want to see, like you said, high IQ basketball. And if those guys are shooting those shots, and if Giddey is getting that amount of assists, more than likely it's situations where you have cuts at the right time. You know, you have open shots being made. And so that usually equates to motion offense, high IQ offense, high IQ basketball. And look, I'm not necessarily hoping for a win. Again, like you said, especially if Giannis plays, you know, we're playing a championship contender. You know, you have Jrue Holiday out there who, you know, he's been an all-star before, and he plays at an all-star level as a rotation player. You have Brook Lopez out there that, you know, again, he's also been an all-star before, and he plays as, you know, one of the top rotation guys in the league. So I'm not necessarily expecting us to win, but I do want us to be competitive, and I do want us to, you know, show what we're capable of in spurts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm looking at betonline.ag right now, because what I've been doing this year.
Which the show is presented by.
I said that at the beginning of the show for the first time ever, Alex.
I know. And we've been plugging it. And by the way, you can watch the game. If you bet on it, you can watch it live on the app if you don't have Bally Sports. So I've been doing that for that reason. So I've been looking at some of the things to look at to bet on. The Thunder are currently +6.5 for the point spread. I don't know if I like that, or I'll give you guys a couple options here. Can either bet that, because I'm not going to bet against the Thunder. That's the one rule I have. I can either bet the Thunder to cover the spread, or over 218.5 points in the game, or under. I'm kind of feeling under on that, since the last game was kind of low. Or a prop bet, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, over under 0.5 3 points made.
Made.
So do we go over or under on that?
So is that 0.5?
So he literally just has to make 1 3-pointer and you get the over. But if he goes zero again, which he has done the last, I think Dylan said since October 27th, the money's kind of favoring under on that. So I don't know, but I can't bet against Shai. So
I'm taking the over on that. And I think, I honestly think it's a little bit of strategy on the part of SGA, you know, whereas one of the ways that you can soften up a defense is to kind of make them think that all you're doing is going to be taking it mid-range and taking it to the basket. And so if the Bucks kind of play off of him, I think that opens up the avenue for him to attempt a couple open three-pointers while being defended still. So.
Okay,
I'm taking that bet, player.
I'm going to go under total points 218.5, and I'm going to go over SGA 0.5 3-pointers made on betonline.ag. Sponsors. Yeah,
there you go.
Absolutely take the game under. I mean,
they've been hitting every time. I don't know why I'm taking the overs.
Well, I mean, still, like, even with the Thunder going through this bad stretch of play, I think they're still a top 10 defense in terms of defensive rating. So, I mean, you have two top 10 defenses playing each other. you know, probably go the under. Yeah, I mean, last game, what, it was like 94-78 or something like that. Let's see here. No, 108-94.
Yeah,
I knew 94 was in there somewhere. So,
hey, gentlemen,
yeah,
it's been real.
Take it easy, Alex.
You guys take care.
Have a good night, brother.
Adios.
So, what was the over set at?
218.5, which is actually the lowest total of any of the NBA games tomorrow, which is a little concerning. But I'll still take the under because they still have not been scoring that many points total.
Yeah, I mean that.
So we'll see.
It hit 202 last game. So yeah, I mean that's still 10 points to give. So,
but with Giannis back,
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see who guards him, man. Like, I mean,
yeah,
I kind of thought Bazley was going to come in to guard Paolo, but we didn't start Bazley. I think we started Santa.
Yeah, I don't think we're gonna see much of Bazley. We haven't seen much of Bazley this whole year. I'm a little bit concerned about him.
He's looked good in the spots. I'll give him that. You know,
yeah,
kind of the same thing I said about Poku, but you know, kind of staying in your box and thriving in that. Like, I think Bazley being a role man on pick and roll big and like playing small ball five off the bench, he's been good. So,
yeah. Also, I was looking it up with the bets. Sorry, I just lost it. Drew Holiday is still most likely out. Giannis is probable, and then Poku is questionable for tomorrow. So,
Drew's out.
Report.
Hmm.
Well, he's doubtful. So,
Pop off tomorrow. Then
we could see that over 0.5 3 points made if we don't see Drew Holiday.
I like it. All right, man. Well, that is that's all we got for today. So, on behalf of myself, Alex, and Tierney. Hope you guys have a great night. God bless. Thunder play tomorrow. So, as always, thunder up.
Thunder up.
Oh, yeah. Also, hoop when you can. I almost forgot about that. So, do that. Then thunder up.
Then thunder up.
Thank you for listening to the Topic Thunder podcast. Our podcast is available to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Be sure to leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review, and follow us on Twitter at OKC Topic Thunder. Thunder up.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.